Lockjaw, the podcast junkie here, and you are listening to one of the funniest shows I've ever heard, Into Your Head, hosted by Neil O'Carroll and Joanne Farrell.
From Athy Town, Ireland, featuring Neil O'Carroll
and me,
Joanne Farrell.
And it's Into Your Head, show number 40. It's very another very, very exciting week here at Puppy Car House. I got a brand new computer. It's a fantastic modern device. It's got all sorts of wireless things attached to it, or not attached to it, as the case may be. But everything's wireless nowadays. They've got wireless keyboards, wireless mouse. A computer isn't even connected to the wall to get electricity. Electricity comes wirelessly, and it's getting absolutely ridiculous now. Nobody wants to connect anything to anything anymore. We're all going around all disconnected, and next thing you know, they'll want to get rid of it, all the oxygen off the earth, and have us flowing around in space all disconnected just for the sake of having the technology, just because we can. And as far as I'm concerned, it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. This whole thing has gone too far. But this computer, it's an absolutely massive yoke with a big screen and a big keyboard and big buttons and things. I don't know what half of this crap does. It just sits there looking at me and taunting me, as if to say, you don't know what to do with me. You can record your stupid podcast if you like, and you can go on the internet and surf. But that's about all you'll be able to do. So don't go thinking you know how to control me. I'm a machine. Have you seen 1984, the film, or the book? And if you've seen the book, have you actually read it rather than just seeing it? And because that's why I'm one of the computers in those. You should be afraid of me. I'm here to take over your life and tell you what to do and all sorts of things. And that's what Joanne says to me every morning. And I have a feeling one day these days my computer will start doing the same. Now, yesterday was Friday the 13th, and I've never been afraid of Friday the 13th myself. And so, in fact, with my own wedding is going to happen on Friday the 13th of July 2007. That's not necessarily an invitation. If your presence is requested at my wedding, you'll receive a card in the post, which will tell you this. So don't take this as a notification that you were to come to it. But we're having it on Friday the 13th, and it's always been one of my favourite days of the year, the Friday the 13th of July. And it's quite fascinating, because it never falls in the same month twice. I mean, last year it was Friday the 13th of June, now it's Friday the 13th of July, which is going to be a problem with our wedding anniversary, because it'll be the first wedding anniversary will be in August, and the next one will be in February probably, and then the next one after that will be in May, and I won't be able to remember any of that crap. I mean, this whole date thing is confusing enough as is. I mean, you have some months that have 27 days in them and others that have 33, and there's no uniformity at all. It all seems to depend on what way the moon goes around the sun or something, and the moon seems to go around the sun whenever it feels like it. It doesn't have any set agenda, which is fine. I suppose the moon's a bit of a hippie. It goes wherever it wants. It's got a Volkswagen van from the 1970s, and it just drives around space at whatever speed it likes, and has a little AA map there that it looks up if it gets lost. But apart from that, it doesn't really have a route. But I suppose it's a bit tied to the orbit, because it slips into an orbit, and thanks to gravity and magnetism and all that sort of stuff, it usually ends up just going around in circles. And that's pretty much what happens to all of us when you go out for a Sunday drive. It's just bloody gravity. I mean, I've never managed to get the car more than 2 feet off the ground. I seem to be stuck to going along roads and the earth. And if we did get rid of all this oxygen and gravity and stuff, it would be a lot more exciting. We'd be able to go pretty much wherever we want. I'll tell you, that would shut up the people who go climbing Mount Everest and think they're great because there's less oxygen up there and because it's really hard to get up there and it hurts their legs and stuff. We'd all just go up in the car on a Sunday afternoon and have a look around and see all the frozen dead bodies of old explorers who used to have to walk up. And we'd say, fuck you, we don't care. We've got cars now, we go wherever we want. You're not an explorer anymore. I mean, for fuck's sake, he might as well call Columbus an explorer because he got in the 747 and went to America. I mean, I've done that.
Hello, I'm Dustin Meehan, and when I'm in Ireland, I listen to Into Your Head.
I used to say that I was not a cat person, but you know, now that I have cats, I really, really like them. They're really fluffy and hairy. Oh, that's the name of one of our cats. Cats are nice. Cats are cute. They purr and they stink sometimes, but that's, you know, because they're cats. Oh, I like cats, even though I was never a cat person. But now that I have cats, I really, really like them. Oh, and we have a dog. He's kind of cute too. But not as cute as the cats, even though I didn't used to be a cat person.
Now, this brings me to one of the issues that I needed to raise with you today. It came to my attention the other day when we were driving home from work, myself and Joanne, and we were hoping to go into a service station and get some services at the service station. And we knew that the service station was going to be on the left, but it's very confusing because there are two roads, one which goes right of the service station and one which goes left of it. It's on a sort of a traffic island in the middle. And sometimes we go one way, sometimes we go the other, so we can never remember whether the service station is going to be on the left or the right. Now, the problem that arises here with this whole directional system is that as soon as we turned right to start going into the service station, the right immediately became the front of us, and what was behind us up till then became right, and what was in front of the car became left, and what was on to the left over to the passenger side became rather confusingly the front. And that's even more confusing when you consider that many of you listening are in the United States, where the passenger side of the car is on the right, and none of this will have any meaning whatsoever. So I'm proposing a new system for the measurement and indication of directionals. I think what we need is a compass, not the type that you draw circles with, a proper compass now that the explorers use when they go to the North Pole, and they seem to always work very well because they always find the North Pole. They never end up in Africa or somewhere by mistake. They always seem to end up at the North Pole. You could be forgiven for thinking that they're just following the snow and going wherever the cold seems to emanate from. But no, they don't. They use the compass. They trust the compass implicitly. They look at the compass and it says, that's the damn North Pole right there, that way. You go that way and you'll end up at the North Pole, guaranteed. And now some of them, of course, they make a mistake because they use the wrong type of compass and they end up at the magnetic North Pole. And of course, once you get within 50 miles of the magnetic North Pole, there's just no turning back. The magnetic pole is just so strong that you can't resist it, and you're damn well going to the magnetic North Pole whether you like it or not. It's just a bloody giant magnet drawing you in, and that's why so many explorers ended up dead and stuck at the magnetic North Pole, and they never found the real North Pole, which was really, really tragic and sad. The same happens with the magnetic South Pole, and that's even worse because the south is downwards and you have gravity as well. People are effectively falling towards the South Pole as well as being attracted by the magnetic pole, and it's absolutely appalling. as far as I'm concerned, all this exploring stuff should be banned. We have enough places now in the world. We don't need any extra places to be discovered in the world or in the universe. I mean, there's only 6 billion of us. I mean, how much space do we need? We don't need to. And at the moment, all the new places that they're finding are out in space, and there's no oxygen or anything, and they can't even grow plants there or cows or anything to feed us milk. So there's no way we're going to be able to live in those places for at least another 500 years. So the explorers are pretty much running out of ideas, and they're just finding us all these places that we're never going to be able to use. At least in Columbus's time, he found us some proper land that had oxygen and television stations, and that produced some of the finest movies known in the history of man. But no, the explorers nowadays are just fine little bits of empty space. They come back all proud and they go, well, look, I found you another bit of empty space, or I found you another sun. And what the hell kind of use is another sun to anyone? That's ridiculous. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. As I say this, you're thinking, Neil, don't be stupid. The sun is eventually going to burn up and die, and then we're going to have no sun, and then you might be glad that one of these modern day Columbus has found you another sun that you can live off. But as far as I'm concerned, if the sun runs out, it'll just get gradually cooler, and we'll adapt, we'll evolve and become mountain bears or something, polar bears, and we'll grow fur and stuff, and we'll get used to the cold. We'll have several millions of years to get used to this whole thing, and by the time it comes along, we'll barely remember that there ever was a sun, and we'll be perfectly happy. I mean, back in the olden days, in the Ice Age, there was no sun then, and plenty of animals managed to live there. There was polar bears, and there was Arctic mountain hyenas, and there was some of the early dinosaurs had a lot of fur, and they lived in the snow, and they were perfectly happy. They lived in igloos, natural igloos, which were formed by the freezing of waterfalls. You have a waterfall that's going over a rock, and the mountain, the water disperses all around the rock in a 360 degree thing, so it's like a semicircle, and then eventually the rock crumbles away with erosion, and what you're left with is a semicircular igloo, and that's what the animals in the Ice Age used to live in, and it went perfectly well. And there's even been a Pixar film made based on the Ice Age, so that tells you that everything was fine. There was no problem there. So I don't know what all the fuss is about. If the sun dies out, we'll just get the hang of it. We'll have to stop using the solar energy and use something else. We'll use polar energy, which is a similar thing, except it comes from the cold. You can use the cold to get people. It gets so cold that people rub their hands together, and you have a couple of wires going up from your hands up your sleeves to a little generator, and that generates all the power you need. You then send the power wirelessly to a central generator, and it's redistributed so that everyone gets just enough electricity that they need. And it's a kind of a communist way of doing it, of course, because everyone puts all of their energy back into the system, and then it's all distributed evenly. So I'm sure a lot of the proponents of those who purport to be up for democracy will be all against this whole polar energy thing. But we're going to damn well need it if there's no sun, so you better fucking well get used to it. That's all I can say.
I'm Seán Uachtaráin, and this is the Thai Weekly World News. Local residents are up in arms this week over the latest proposals to ease the backlog in connecting new houses to utilities. Building on the success of wireless broadband and television services in Athai, officials are planning to license wireless oil, power and water providers for all new housing developments in the town. One objector says this will cause chaos, with bits of fuel and liquid flying all over the place and landing on people's heads. A spokesperson for the industry, however, says it will be far less wasteful than the current system, whereby water is dropped haphazardly from clouds onto the nearest house, whether the resident needs it or not. He also rubbished as scaremongering claims that a recent trial delivery of wireless static electricity to 10 houses on the Dublin Road resulted in several cats becoming stuck to a lamppost for up to 2 hours. Meanwhile, at the small claims court, 5 locals are suing a wireless internet provider for damage to their vehicles. They claim that stray bites of information are landing on their cars at night and damaging the paintwork. One plaintiff, who wished to remain anonymous, alleges that a stray sharp comment from an online blog recently struck his back tyre, causing it to explode. Speaking to Athy Weekly World News, Mr. Rarecase said, "These damn computers are taking over our skies. Next thing you know, they'll have robots flying around, putting the clouds into position for pre-scheduled periods of rain. Enough is enough." Athy's oldest resident has died, for the second time this year. It was previously reported in May that 104-year-old Morris Talltamer had passed away. Now, another local, Eileen Waterway, has lost her long battle with nature at the age of 103, and her family are claiming that she became the town's oldest person after Talltamer's death. Mr. Talltamer's family, however, are furious. They say the Waterways should be ashamed of themselves, trying to steal the title out of the cold, dead hands of a man who can no longer stand up for himself. Asked to comment, the chairman of Athy Town Council said he has no role whatsoever in such matters. A group of environmentalists had launched a campaign to prevent what they call the mass slaughter of Athy's ant population. In a report published yesterday, they claim that every step taken by a pedestrian in the town's main street kills an average of 3 families of the insects, and they're demanding that school children be given compulsory lessons in efficient walking. "In my day," spokesperson Brian Persons said, "we used to play a game whereby we'd avoid stepping on the cracks in the pavement. All we're saying is that everybody should do the exact opposite. Walk only on the cracks and gaps between the paving stones. It's fun and it saves lives. Where's the downside?" Meanwhile, local schoolmistress Joanne Farrell has rejected the proposal, saying, "I'm sick to death of this. Every time a new Pixar film comes out, there's another bloody species that you're forbidden to walk on. These creatures don't even have faces. As far as I'm concerned, unless it purrs and drinks milk, it's not worth saving." Finally, it was out of the frying pan into the fire for one Athy native this week, literally. After 20 years of serving cooked breakfasts to hungry shoppers, local cafe owner Maeve Mackerel has hung up her spatula and traded it in for fire tongs. That's because, in a well-timed move, Mrs. Mackerel has set up the town's first ever crematorium. Vacancies in Maeve's giant oven are being snapped up like hotcakes, thanks to a SARS outbreak at Nace General Hospital. Maeve assures us, however, that her customers won't have to share the grill with jumbo sausages and sunny-side-up eggs, like the one she used to serve in her cafe. In fact, each customer is processed individually to avoid embarrassing mix-ups. To mark the end of an era in local cafe breakfasts, we asked local eccentric restaurant critic Lord Miles Wellwater III to sum up the loss of the town's dining community, and sum it up he did. Not one to mince his words, Miles gave us his thoughts in 4 words. From vomitorium to crematorium. And that was Athy Weekly World News. I'm Seán Uroga, and mine's a full Irish with no beans.
Now, I've just started up the microphone again, and I've absolutely no idea what I'm going to say. I haven't planned anything. I've no script, and frankly, if whatever happens in the next few minutes is anyone's guess. I mean, I could start talking about cats. I mean, that's what I usually revert to when I don't have anything planned. Or I could talk about ponies. There's My Little Pony. Not literally My Little Pony. I don't have a little pony, and I've absolutely no interest in ponies whatsoever. And if I did, I think I'd go for a larger one. I mean, I'm quite big myself, and if I sat on a little pony and tried to ride it, I think I'd squash it to death. I've never been really interested in those toys that come from children's television programs. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were a bit freaky to me. I mean, a teenage turtle is an old turtle, isn't it? I mean, turtles only live to I suppose some of them live to 150 and stuff, but a teenage turtle in that case would be not really a teenager, but well, I suppose it would be a teenager. I'm probably thinking of other animals, like a teenage dog would be an elderly dog. If a dog is 15 or 16, it's close to death. But I suppose a teenage turtle is close enough to be to the equivalent of a teenage human. except of course it's got a shell on its back. So I suppose the shell it looks a bit like a bad case of acne on a human teenager would look like. That's what a turtle's shell looks like when it's hardened and stuff. Although it's green and not red and pus coloured, so it's a bit different. And I suppose turtles are probably very self conscious about this. They've got this thing on their back that looks like a bad case of acne, but it's in fact their home, and they have to carry their home on their backs. I mean, I couldn't carry my home on my back. It's a fucking huge building made out of bricks and concrete and wood, and it's two stories high, so it would probably topple over and fall off my back, and then it would break or something, or no, maybe the internet connection would get disconnected, the wire would get cut when the house falls in it or something, and I'd never have internet again. And that would be a problem, because I use the internet quite a lot. And then, of course, there's other animals. There's the fly that only lives for a few months, I believe, or a few weeks. It starts its life as a moth, or not a moth, that thing beginning with M. A maggot. I believe a cat starts its life as a maggot. No, it doesn't. A fly starts its life as a maggot. I got a bit distracted there because there's a cat meowing downstairs. I don't know if you can hear it. You probably can't, but I can. That's why I'm distracted. If you can hear it, you've probably been distracted too, so you won't be listening to what I'm saying. Oh, here it comes. Here, Harry. Come here and talk to the listeners. Okay, go hide under the bed. Yeah, so Harry just rang in, and Harry is an absolutely fantastic cat. He hasn't caught a mouse yet. His younger companion, who we also have, Pippi caught her first mouse last week, as you'll have gathered from the special song that I sang in tribute at the beginning of this podcast. We're very proud of Pippi. She's only a tiny little, very small kitten, and yet she caught her first mouse and played with it for a few days and kept running in and out of the house with the mouse and finding it even when we tossed it out onto the road. And so Pippi caught her first mouse, and Harry stared jealously at her. Harry, of course, has better things to do than go around catching mice. Harry is a serious cat. He takes life very seriously. He spends his entire day hunting, and usually he finds food in one of the bowls that we leave in the landing and at the bottom of the stairs, and he eats them, and then he can be proud of himself for a good long day's hunting.
Hello, I'm Dustin Meehan. Some of you may know me as the voice that goes, "Sit, Ubu, sit," on your favorite family sitcoms. I'm here to tell you about the IntoYourHead.com guestbook. Everybody who's anybody is posted in the IntoYourHead.com guestbook, and you should too, because you haven't truly partaken in the show unless you've mingled with the humble and ignorant listeners such as myself. Visit the guestbook now at IntoYourHead.com.
Of course, humans still hunt. They just do it quite differently. They hunt for money, and they do it by going into an office and sitting there for 8 hours and hunting for their phone and hunting for files and hunting for customers and business, and they hunt that way, and then they come home with the money and they use the money to buy food in a shop, which is a bit different than how a cat does it. A cat doesn't go to a shop at all, and it doesn't even go and do a day's work. It just goes and gets the bloody food and eats it, and life is much simpler that way. I sometimes yearn for this simpler life where I don't have to go to work and I don't have to worry about money and stuff. There was a sitcom in England in the 1970s called The Good Life, and it featured a couple who decided to make all their money by to live off food, vegetables and meat, which they would grow in their back garden. And the guy gave up work and they just about got by. They had problems and stuff, but it was grand, and they were happy, and the people watching the sitcom were happy because there was a sitcom, and by definition it was funny. There were jokes in it and stuff, so we were all happy, everyone in this part of the world. And we were even happier watching it in Ireland because The Good Life was screened on the BBC, which is English television. We don't have to pay a license fee for the BBC because we're not in the BBC jurisdiction, so we don't have to get an English television license. So we were even happier we were getting this program for free, although admittedly we have to get an Irish television license to pay for the Irish television programs, which are absolutely appalling. I mean, we've got this stuff about a turkey called Dustin, who just talks for 3 hours every day, and that's called children's entertainment, and we're supposed to be amused by it. Absolutely ridiculous. And then we had this thing called what was it called now? It was called the 9 o'clock news, and there was just this guy sitting at a desk, and he'd look into the camera and he'd say, "This happened today, and this other stuff happened today, and come here, take a look at this. Here's a picture of some people carrying a coffin. And you see that man now there who's inside the coffin, he was very important, he was famous, he was a famous poet or something, and that's why I'm reporting this to you now." But we couldn't see who was in the coffin at all. We just had to trust this guy for his word, this newsreader, and say, if he told us it was some famous guy in the coffin, we just had to take his word for it. We had no proof of it. Coffins aren't see-through. Well, not for the first few years. Eventually, they break down in the soil, and I'm sure they become transparent then, and you can see who's inside it. But by then, the corpse is kind of broken down quite a bit, and it might be hard to identify unless you have their dental records and you're a dentist and you can have access to their teeth. And even that's a lot of trouble to go to just to verify and use. Broadcast, and frankly I don't think I'd be prepared to go that far, so the news used to come on every at 9 o'clock, and this guy would go on for about 27 minutes, and then you'd have 3 minutes of weather. You'd have some woman coming on from the civil service, who'd be from the what's called the meteorological service or something, and she'd say tomorrow's going to be wet, except in some areas it'll be dry and it might be windy. And you see this map here, this shows you what the weather is going to be like everywhere, and you can trust me because I'm a meteorologist and I know this stuff. And then you get up the next day and the weather will be there just as she said it was, and it was fine. But I mean, we could have found that out ourselves just by waiting till the morning. We could have found out by getting up and looking out the window in the morning what the weather was like. We don't need her to tell us. We're not stupid. I mean, we sit in front of the television for a bit of entertainment, not to be told what tomorrow is going to be like. And at least all credit to her, she made an attempt to predict what the future would be like. The guy in the news didn't do that at all. He just said, all this stuff happened today, and some of this actually happened yesterday, just after I went off air. But I'm telling you about it now. I'm digress. I'm able to predict this stuff that has already happened, and with 100% accuracy, and you should think I'm absolutely fantastic. And I'm really important. Look at me, I'm wearing a suit and a tie. I've got this big desk, and I've got this little screen in front of me, and I'm shuffling this piece of paper, and I'm ticking things off with my bio as I go along, because that's the only way I can keep track of this. I mean, the producer is shy, he doesn't tell me anything, so I have to do it all myself. Anyway, that's about it from the news today. Over to Eileen with the weather. Apparently she's going to tell you what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. I'm not sure what's the point of that. I mean, she doesn't even bother telling you what yesterday was like. I mean, I wasn't out yesterday. I want to know what the weather was like yesterday. Anyway, that's the news for now. Good night.
Hello, I'm Joanne Farrell, and you're welcome to the third part of my lecture, A Beginner's Guide to Irony. I'm as surprised as you are. Anyway, irony is set to be with us for many decades into the future. Scientists have predicted. Wouldn't it be funny if they turned out to be lying? I predict that they will, but I should warn you that I'm not being entirely truthful when I say that. But that's not because I'm a scientist. I'm not. I just look like one because the headphones on my iPod sort of look a bit like a stethoscope when I hang them around my neck. But I digress. What really gets on my tits is when someone has been talking for 10 minutes and then starts a new sentence with, "to be honest." That leads me to assume that they've been completely dishonest up until that point, which is rather offensive, isn't it, when you think about it? Frankly, it makes me want to storm off in a huff. Unfortunately, I am unable to afford adequate insurance cover from my huff at the moment, so I have to storm off on foot, which does not have quite the same impact. That's not to say that my foot is anything less than impressive. Well, actually, hang on a minute. Which foot are you talking about? And you shouldn't judge a girl by her feet anyway. That's just shallow. You should judge me by how many megabytes of RAM I may have in my head. I have 3, by the way. I like to travel light, so I just carry enough memory to think about crossing the road. I leave the rest at home in my safe, including the bit that remembers where I left the rest of my memory, unfortunately. Hang on a minute. How the hell did I remember that? Weird. Anyway, irony is said to become a rich person's pastime, just like golf and yachting. Don't ask me how I know this. I just sort of figured it all out in my brain while I was watching Frasier. Irony is just too expensive, and it's a terrible waste of the world's natural resources, isn't it? It's all made out of petrol and precious metals and God knows what else. So, let's have no more of this nonsense about everybody being able to afford to be ironic. That's just wishful thinking. Unless some sort of goblin or a leprechaun grants you three wishes, you are never going to be able to become properly ironic, except by working your ass off every hour of every day. And let's face it, you're too damn lazy for that. Now, this is the third lecture that I've given about irony. So obviously, I'm starting to run out of knowledge to impart to you at this point. I suggest you go read some comics or something. I recommend matchstickcats.com. Hopefully, the irony will kick in when you find yourself actually learning something. I hope it doesn't kick you too hard, because then you'll have a sore ass and you'll have to read the rest of your comics lying on your tummy on a rug or something. Which will mean you won't be able to see the resulting solar eclipse. And that would be a real shame. Anywho, I have been Doctress Joanne Farrell for the Into Your Head Adult Learning Programme.
Again, I find I've just pressed the record button on my computer and have absolutely nothing planned to say to you at all. I've recorded about 20 minutes of speech so far, and I think I need about another 6 or 7 minutes. So I suppose I could just yap away here about something or other and not listen to myself and just hope that it comes out okay. I do have some stuff, some notes saved on my cell phone here about possible subjects. So let me see what I've got here. Which way is left and right if you're facing sideways? Well, you've covered that earlier with my story about approaching a service station. I've also got, Wednesday, I've got a note that says Wednesday around 6th of October, OOD 70127 747 25 to 6, woman, sunglasses, ponytail, dark hair. Actually, that's about a road incident involving a Dublin bus driver, and I made a note to myself to write a complaint to the bus company about that, so I think I'll keep that private for the moment, just in case I get sued or something. For the next note that I've got for possible subjects says, Pope abolishes state of limbo after civil war. Now, I kind of got ahead of myself with this note. Pope Benedict XVI, a couple of weeks ago, was supposed to be on the verge of abolishing the state of limbo. He decided that babies who hadn't been baptised wouldn't go into this neutral state of limbo, they would go straight to heaven, because he doesn't believe in limbo. But he decided at the last minute not to make a decision yet. He's holding back, and he's not going to decide at all yet. And possibly because the Pope is known not to like press leaks, and if it leaks out that that he's going to make a particular decision, he'll then decide not to make that decision. Which in itself is his decision, I suppose, in itself, which is rather clever. Anyway, he was going to abolish the state of limbo. Now limbo was originally part of the USSR until the mid-1980s, when all that broke up and we had Russia took over as the main country in that part of the world, and all these other little countries broke up or became part of Russia or became independent. And my own country, Ireland, used to be part of the USSR, but only in a parallel universe. And the Pope, anyway, he doesn't think much of limbo. He thinks it's a load of shite. And what they're saying is that Muslims don't believe in limbo, so he's deciding he wants to please Muslims, because he's a pope of the people. He wants to please everybody, and he wants to be on everybody's side. We know that from his statement a couple of weeks ago, which was a mistake, of course. He pretty much said that Muslims were evil, but he didn't mean it. He apologised and all, so we know he's a man of the people. He's just like the Irish Prime Minister Bertie Ahern. He likes to say he's a man of the people. And I like to say I'm a people of the man. It doesn't mean anything, but it's very catchy. And if I ever run for parliament in an election, I'm going to use that phrase, people of the man, or a man of the cat, or cat of the person. Or I think what I'll do is change my surname to Person. So I'll be Neil Person. And that'll show everyone what a people person I am, or a person. I don't know why you want to be a people person. I'd rather be a person. This is just a more individual, personal attitude, a person. I'd rather be a person than a people person. People person suggests that you just get all the people in the room together and address them in one go. and you don't really get to interact with each individual on the personal level. But if you're a person rather than a people person, then that's much more personal. You take each person aside individually and ask them, what are their needs? What can I do for you in the next session of Parliament? And it makes you sound like a much, much, much more caring person. So yeah, I'm a person. I'm not a people person. The other type of person you can be is a cat person. Now I'm not a cat person myself. Cats are crap as far as I'm concerned. But my partner Joanne Farrell, it turns out to my surprise, is very much a cat person. She loves our two cats that we got recently. This despite the fact that she was known to say around 6 months ago that we are never getting a cat. She hates cats. She's a dog person. No, we're never getting a cat. But yeah, now we have two cats, and as soon as I get up and go to work in the morning, the cats go into bed with her. And yeah, she's a cat person. So then the other type of there are other types of person, I suppose. There are subcategories of cat person. They have white persons and black persons, and they're half the world is white and half is black. It divides exactly equally down the middle. And then you have female persons and male persons. That's roughly half and half. Again, it's pretty much the same. And you can be a combination of more than one category. You could be, for example, a black woman or a black man or a white woman or a white man. But you can't be a white black or a man woman. Well, I suppose you can if you're in the middle of a series of operations, but most of the time, no, you're either black or white, and you're either male or female, and you put the two together, and that's what you are. That's who you are. Now, you can be a black cat person, and that can have two meanings. Now, this is where it gets confusing. You can be a black cat person, meaning that you're a black-skinned person who likes cats, or you can be a black cat person in that you're a person who happens to like black cats, and you may well be a white black cat person or a black cat person. And that's where this sort of category gets very confusing. The English language really has its limitations, really, and we have to invent a replacement one of these days. You can't go around in circles like this where you can be a black cat person or white black cat person. I mean, if you're into white cats, so what happens there? That you can be a black white cat person or white cat person. And what if you're into, say, black cats who like black people? You could be a black cat person or a white black cat person, and so on. The possibilities are endless, and I think it's absolutely fucking ridiculous as far as I'm concerned.
Want to stalk us? Visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook. Call or text message the Stalkers hotline 24 hours a day. Leave a voice message on our website. Email us. Or, coming soon, Skype us. Details of our ever-expanding stalking service can be found at our website, intoyourhead.com, or in the show notes on your iPod, which you're holding right now. No, your other hand.